Hello, and welcome to the Untitled Female Driven Podcast. We are three film and television writers who are here to talk about how to make it as professional writers in the entertainment industry. This podcast covers what we wish we'd known when we were getting started, so you all can learn the easy way what we learned the hard way. I'm Erica Schreiber. I mostly write features.
I'm Jess Cho. I mostly write for television.
And I'm Hannah Rosner, and I also mostly write for television. And today we're going to talk about what is a rewrite versus what is a polish. All right, so you've written your first draft of your script. It's perfect. It's flawless. It's ready to sell to a studio and be made into a movie or TV show. If only that were the case, right? Actually, unless you're a famous auteur with all the resources at your disposal to make a movie or a TV show without anyone else's help funding it, shooting it, or distributing it, you're going to have to revise your script. And, you know, we did an episode, right, guys, about how to take notes before you revise your script. Whether you're a professional working writer or you're still trying to break in, at some point you're going to be given notes and you're going to be expected to turn those notes around into a new draft in a timely manner. And like lots of movies, lots of shows go through tons and tons of drafts. But today we want to talk about what are the two main types of revisions, and those are a rewrite or a polish.
Just also, before we jump in, I want to give a little more context. This is kind of, at least what I am going to kind of be referencing is what would be in a contract, right? Like you've got your job, you've got your script, and there's different steps, right? So you deliver the first draft, and then after that, you're going to probably deliver a second draft, which is almost always going to be a rewrite, right? And so in your contract, you will have a rewrite step, maybe two, maybe three, who knows, and then you will have a polish step, right? So there is a really good reason that we do differentiate between those two things, because a rewrite is a much bigger deal than a polish. We're talking structural work, big character work, changing plots around. That's a rewrite. It's when you get macro notes about like what's not working versus getting like page notes. If it's just scene work, a slight tone adjustment or something like that, that's on the polish side. Is that your guys' experience too?
Yes. I refer to them, macro versus micro is a really good way of putting it. I think of it as like global notes versus local notes. Global is stuff like about the world and the character arcs, the emotion. It's the type of stuff that if you change one thing, it's going to have a huge cascading effect. That's why it's a rewrite. You're going to have to change huge chunks of your script. But everyone likes local notes better.
Yeah. I mean, they're way easier. But yeah, think of it in terms of like, you know, if you're writing a movie with your, you know, with a big main character, and the note is, I don't understand your main character, right? Then that's a rewrite note. If it's, I don't quite understand what your main character is doing in this specific scene, that's a polish note.
It's interesting because you can get notes that seem really big. I mean, I actually got some notes on a feature recently that was basically like, they loved everything about the concept, the world, the like structure, the set pieces, all that, but they were having trouble connecting to the character. And I thought, oh no, this is going to be a huge rewrite. This is going to be a lot of work. And it actually only required adding a scene to like give the character more depth and more shading and, you know, a little bit more insight into her backstory. So it didn't take as long as I thought it would. So it's interesting. Sometimes something can seem like it's going to take forever and it's actually only going to be, you know, one scene that took me one day. Whereas I've gotten small, what seem like small notes, and then I end up spending like weeks or months on trying to make it work.
Yeah, and vice versa, like you can get a note like this should be more violent or less violent, right? And that seems, oh man, like I gotta go through the whole thing now, right? But like it's just kind of a matter of description for the most part, right? Like you can tweak something so that you cut away faster, or you can show something that you previously cut away from. Like that can end up being polish work as opposed to rewrite.
Yeah, tone is a tricky thing. Tone can go either way. If they're like, if the note is this is supposed to be a comedy and your script isn't funny, well
that's
yes,
a big note. That's
a tone note, but it is a macro note because you're going to have to write a lot more jokes to make it funny, or like change your whole premise so that it's more of a comedic premise. That's tough. But back to the original question, that does help with the context. Actually, I do want to ask you a little bit more about the context of, because I think now we've talked about, you know, the time, the difference is really the time frame, like how long it's going to take you at the end of the day, just in basic terms, right?
When we talk about macro versus micro, like it's the amount of stuff, which is the amount of time, not just the amount of words changed, but the amount of rethinking that needs to be done which we all do, you know, in the shower or in the gym, you know, like all that thing of like, how am I going to fix it? How am I going to fix it? You know, like those should be micro notes. Micro notes shouldn't be keeping you up at night. Macro notes, sure, if that's your jam.
I actually kind of love micro notes because I'm like, oh, great. I love checking off tasks. And so this is a list of things I need to do. Awesome. But if it's a macro note, and then I'll just be agonizing over it for days and talking about it with everyone, you know, talking about it with anyone who will listen.
Yeah,
absolutely. The thing about macro notes, I find, and the reason why they take so long is it really tests how well you know your story, and it tests how well you know your characters. Because if you haven't done the work, the prep work of really getting to know your world, your setting, where your characters are going, you're going to really struggle during a macro rewrite.
If you move one tiny piece that affects a whole ripple effect of other pieces, then yeah. That's big. That's macro stuff. Like you can make one small change in act one, and then when you get to act three, it's created a huge difference and a ton of work for you, as opposed to changing something in act three in which you don't have to adjust anything in act one.
And page notes, you know, going back to that, when we were talking about this, the scope of the notes being part of what differentiates the two types of notes, rewrite versus polish, it's page notes can be macro and micro, because what I mean by that is, I don't know about you guys, but I'll often get a notes document that is, you know, usually a lot of them are the same. Generally, they'll be like, they start with an overall note at the top or a couple of big macro, big picture notes, and then they'll be like page notes below. That's actually how I do my notes. If I give notes to people, it's like, here's the overall big picture stuff at the top. Underneath it is going to be a list of notes that are in order of the script, like page 9, change this, or, you know, question about that. So, but sometimes if you just get a notes document that's just page notes, some of those page notes will be tiny and minor. And some of them, you're like, all of a sudden on page 30, you get a note saying, I'm not sure I understand this character's arc. Or you get a page 95, they just decided to write a note on page 95 that actually refers to the entire script and not to this particular page or this scene.
Yeah, those are like hidden mines within your script. It's super fun. The thing that should be at the very top of this notes doc, which I have gotten multiple times, you get the notes doc from the producers. Like, first of all, if you're working with multiple producers, they should be creating one notes doc together for you, right? That's their job. And I've received the unorganized notes document before, and it's just like, no, you guys, this is literally the least you can do is put this in a presentable form for me to read. The top of it should always have why I'm wonderful. Why yes. This script is wonderful. Yeah. Like, you gotta start there, right? Like, build me up and then tear me down with all your notes. You leave that part out, I get very sad.
It's rude. Because, like, you just did all this work. Like, it is, yeah. At least just, even if you didn't like it, just pretend you did and say good job. Because even if your script is bad, you still worked hard on it. So just have someone acknowledge it.
Exactly. And as a non-mental health note, it's really good for you to know that they understand what works, you know, yes. In the script. Because otherwise, when you're reading the notes, you become hopeless and wonder if they've understood anything you're trying to do. So it's good for them to start with the things that are working and that they really like, so that you have like a touchstone. Be like, okay, we all really like this main character. These notes are about how we, you know, bring such and such a thing about them across better.
Erica, I have a question. Have you ever gotten a note and the producers basically, they thought it was a polished note, but you knew it was a rewrite? And so yes. When they thought it was a polish, like, oh, just have this back in a few days. And you were like, no. How do you handle that?
That is a good conversation, honestly, for a rep to have, because it's helpful to not come from you exactly, because otherwise you kind of feel like a whiner. Any really bad notes, whether it's asking too much work or just completely wrong, it is worth pushing back on most of the time, with the exception of if it's something so tiny that you can just be like, oh yeah, okay, I'll keep that in mind and just move on. I'll keep that in mind is like, it covers a lot of ground in terms of like, oh, I'm not going to do that, but I heard you. But in terms of when a note that producers try to sneak by as a polished note instead of a rewrite note comes up, then unless you're in a situation when it's totally worth it to just fucking do it, yeah, there are polite ways to push back. If you don't respect your time, they won't respect your time. It can be so much as like writing back and be like, hey, can you reword this or be more specific with this, because this is a much bigger rewrite note and we're working on a polish or something like that. Unfortunately, sometimes there's not a good way out of it. This is a very time-honored thing that producers will try to pass off rewrites as polishes. And it really sucks. And if it happens to you, you are definitely not alone. And have just like, if you have a rep, get them on it. If you don't have a rep, you know, decide where your line in the sand is. Like, do you feel like this project is progressing forward and it really will get to the next step if you do this? Or do you need to find a way to get them on the same page as you? There's no one size fits all solution for that, unfortunately.
But what you were saying before about most contracts for features is like you get a rewrite step or two and usually one polish step, correct?
Usually. I feel like it's pretty standard to have, if you have an option or something like that, you really want to get that step in, whether it's a rewrite or a polish, most likely a rewrite that's going to be most useful to you and your producers. Because if you're WGA, the option or purchase doesn't count towards your health and pension unless there's an active job step of a rewrite or a polish. So good to know. But yeah, usually there is at least one rewrite step and one polish step.
And so what happens if you've done your rewrite step, they're happy, but they have some polish notes. You do your polish step, they're happy, but they still have more notes. What happens then?
You actually can create another step. This has actually happened to me where I wrote a script, I did the rewrite, I did the polish, we're all very happy. And they came back with, hey, we want to send it to this actor. Will you do a polish geared towards them? And, you know, my lawyer drew up a new step that was in line with the rest of the deal. And there's also guaranteed step versus optional steps. Like you can have a guaranteed rewrite step and then two more optional ones, which basically like it might happen that you rewrite the script and then they immediately send you to the polish because they're really happy. More likely they can activate one of the optional rewrite steps. So it's in their benefit for them to negotiate those ahead of time so that, because like my lawyer could have probably asked them for a lot of money for that polish, you know, like because it wasn't written into the contract already.
Okay, Erica, so quick question for you. When you have your rewrite or your polish and you're unsure if you're ready to be sent to the producers or the exec or whatever, do you send the draft to your writers group, to peers, to friends? Is that allowed? What is the process for that for you?
So it depends on how confident I'm feeling, I think. Especially if it's a polish, I'm mostly going to just send it to the producers. You know, for a first draft or something like that, yeah, I want to get other people's eyes on it before I turn it in. I don't usually go to my manager with this, but it is something I've brought into writer's group or had someone read. And like always with the specific parameters of like, here's the job I was hired to do. And so this is what it needs to accomplish. And like, you know, the great thing about sending it to other writers or people in your writer's group is that they understand that, right? It's like, I'm not asking how to make this like the best Erica spec ever. I'm saying this was the job I was hired for. And do you understand these things? Like there's limitations in terms of how many notes I can take, right? Because I have literally pitched or outlined something already. Like there's a little latitude. Like it is totally understood that you might go into a rewrite or something like that. And something that totally worked when you were pitching it, it doesn't actually work in the script. So you have to change it around. But there's only a little bit of that that you can really get away with before people are like, why did you do something completely different than what you told us you would do?
That's a good question. And a good answer. I feel like I grapple with that myself. So yeah. Well, we've been talking about features a lot, and I wanted to ask Jess a question that I kind of know the answer to. What's the difference between, you know, getting rewrite or polish notes on a script that, like what Erica's talking about, versus your TV episode? If you're working on a show, how does that work?
The rewrites process is going to be different for every show. So in the show that I'm working on currently, we are allowed several rewrites. And in those rewrites, a lot can change. You know, whole character arcs can change. Settings can change. Sometimes huge set pieces can change. And all the notes I'm getting are from the showrunner. And so those are notes that I can't just say, I have a difference of opinion. No, this is the showrunner's notes. He or she is your boss. You're going to incorporate those notes as best as you can. And then after going through that process with the showrunner, then if the showrunner is satisfied with where the script is, oftentimes the showrunner will do his or her own pass. And then that pass will be sent to the network and the studio for their notes. And sometimes they only have one or two notes, and that's a polish thing. But sometimes they have a huge thing of, does this character need to be in this episode? or why isn't this character in this episode? Or does this episode have to be set on a spaceship? Can't it be set in this broom closet? Mm-hmm. And when that happens, then you know you're in for a very rough night.
Yes.
Because that's the other thing about television, is that you're very much on a schedule, and that schedule is very, very compressed. So I know somebody who he was in prep to film his episode, and then he got a huge note from the studio and the network, and he had to rewrite his entire episode in 2 days.
Wow.
And that's just the name of the game for television.
And, you know, dumb feature writer clarification here, but you guys don't get paid more based on how many times you have to rewrite it, right? Like, you just get paid for the script.
It's an infinite number. Like what you were talking about with, you know, one rewrite step, one polish step for TV, the job is that you have an infinite number of rewrites or polishes that you can do on your script up until the show is on the air. I've written pages for scripts that were already shot because, you know, they needed to do ADR or they needed to do reshoots or something like that. So it really doesn't end until the show is delivered and, you know, in the can, until it's on screen. And then I guess you're done with that episode.
Well, it's interesting because all the shows that I've worked on for the most part have been on streaming platforms. So we typically write all the episodes together, we finish writing all of the episodes and then we go into production. But Hannah, your room was slightly different, right? You had a more network model.
Yeah. And with the network schedule, I don't remember exactly the schedule, but it's about, you know, the episode that you're writing, that when you commence your episode, you're anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks from shooting it. So the time of your prep time is so compressed that you really are under the gun to deliver your scripts as quickly as possible. You know, you might have anywhere from 5 to 7 days to write your first draft and then get notes, turn those notes around within 24 hours, maybe over the weekend. So maybe you get 2 days. And like you said, Jess, they can be anywhere from a small little tweak, a little polish, you know, clarify this exposition, or can we make this a little more subtle, to why isn't this character in the episode? And now you have to create a whole new arc out of nothing in 1 day. So yeah, it can really run the gamut.
That's so interesting. In terms of features, you honestly, eight weeks is pretty standard, I think, for a rewrite step for a script. I once had a contract that weirdly gave me 8 weeks to write the first draft and 12 weeks to write the rewrite. And I was like, all right. Okay.
That's pretty great.
I didn't complain. But yeah, I would say 4 weeks for a polish is pretty standard. I was asked once to do with a polish in 2 weeks, and I think I got paid a little extra for that. But yeah. And these all come with reading periods too for feature contracts. It's like, I have 8 weeks to rewrite it. They have 4 weeks to read it. And technically, like, give me notes for the next part. Do you guys want to ask me how many times it's actually ever happened?
I was just about to ask you how many times.
The answer is never. Never happened. But that is technically what it's supposed to be. Also, people can be very understanding, right? Like, you know, when I've had health issues in the past or something like that, and be like, hey, I'm not going to be able to work for these 2 weeks. Like, they don't be like, oh, well, that's, you still have to give it to us in 8. Like, people tend, unless there is a real reason for a deadline, we work on a totally different kind of schedule than you guys do.
That is the nice thing. I mean, that's something that I've always really loved about working in television versus working in features, is at least on the shows that I've worked on, it's like, this is going to shoot. Whether I finish this or someone else finishes it, or the train is moving. So hold on tight and, you know, get your script done. I love that, because it's like, it's, you know, why there's a rush on it. Whereas I've had like feature jobs or OWAs or just, you know, any other non-paid TV work where you're like, what is the rush on this exactly? Like, why do you need this immediately? Because if you're going to shoot it, awesome. I will do this right now.
It pulls a little into on the development side too, because when I sold my show to Freeform and I wrote the pilot for them, like, the process was like story area, outline, treatment, blah, blah, blah. And when we got to writing the actual script, they gave me 4 weeks. And for a feature, you get 12. 12 is standard to write a whole feature. And obviously a pilot is not as long, but it's not nothing. I was so shocked. I like asked a few like showrunners or producers right now, and they're like, yeah, that's how the big kids do it. And I was like, okay, okay.
You had 4 weeks to write an original pilot that you were developing? That is, I mean, that doesn't seem like a lot of time, because
it actually was doable because we had done so much work in the story area, in the outline, in the treatment.
Okay.
Yeah. So it freaked me out, but it actually was. I mean, and what's funny is like, that was for the network to get it. So like, I actually had to have it done in like 2 weeks so the producers could read it and give me notes and we could turn it back around.
Got it. That's the thing too, with context is everything. If you're writing something from scratch that you're working off a beat sheet or even a pitch, like I was thinking, okay, you just developed a pitch and then they were like, great, write the pilot. And there's a big difference between writing a pilot off of a break, like a, you know, you wrote like a one page summary into a pitch document of your pilot, but then you're writing a actual, you know, a script off of that. That's pretty daunting. But if you have broken the pilot and written it into a beat sheet and then expanded it into an outline, and then you write a pilot, that's doable because you have a template, you know, and at that point it's scene work. And that's the fun part, going from an outline to script.
Exactly. That was exactly how it went. It was like, oh, I actually do know everything that's going to happen. This isn't going to take as long. And I also wanted to, when I mentioned earlier, like, you know, rewrite takes 8 weeks, you get 8 weeks and, you know, polish 4 weeks. I want to stipulate again, I was talking about a studio contract, and it's going to be the same thing where like, I am actually going to be finishing it earlier, getting it to the producers who are going to have to turn around and let me know if there are any issues with it. Right. And that's why sometimes things end up late or, you know, like it's also called a producer pass, which can be a bad thing. Like I will absolutely be doing it because I know I can work that fast and because I trust my producers, but this is where things can get totally stuck even for a rewrite, you know, but like that is the most common thing to do on a studio project is have your be on the same page with your producers before actually turning it into the studio, which affects the timing.
Everyone wants to give their two cents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I worked on a movie early in my career that every time we turned in a draft, someone at the production company had been fired and replaced with a new producer. And each time it was like a completely different, they basically wanted a page one rewrite each time. It just goes to show if you're trying to hit a moving target, you're going to be starting over every time, and it can be a lot of work. But hey, if they're paying you, great. That's the job.
There's that expression page one rewrite, and you know, a rewrite step, I think kind of unfortunately covers a page one rewrite, but that's something that might be a different episode of how do you get out of a page one rewrite. But like page one rewrite means you're changing everything, right? That there's going to be almost no original work left in it. It usually isn't that way, and it probably shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. And it's also a sign of great dysfunction.
Yeah. That's often what happens. They just have no idea what they want. And you're like, okay, you don't know what you want. Let me tell you what you want. You tell them, they're like, no, try this way instead. Okay, you do that. And then they're like, no, we don't want that either. So it's frustrating.
My go-to example is the story you told me, Jess, about the thing that was like a thing I was interested in doing, and you got called in for a rewrite on it. And the producers clearly hated each other and didn't agree on what the movie should be. But all they, like, the thing it was based on, the book it was based on, was about one very specific thing. And the only thing they knew they didn't want was that.
Yes. Like, and that, one thing that made this project unique, they're like, not that thing.
They're like, we want everything but that. That's like that's a page one rewrite from hell. And mm-hmm. I'm glad you did not get sucked into that.
Yeah, but I got great advice from a feature writer. Who could that be? Anyway.
For people who have reps, even if your reps scare you, this is where you're going to need them, right? Because there are going to be bad notes, and you are going to get it put in positions where you're stuck in producer pass land, or people don't, you know, you're getting notes from different places that are opposite of each other. Like, put your reps to work if this is you. This is their job, right? Because your job is to write and not to settle turf wars between producers. That should not be on your plate. If you don't have reps, there's a dance here of like standing up for yourself and setting boundaries and trying to really figure out what actually needs to get done. You know, I definitely have known people stuck in development hell rewriting things for free when they shouldn't be because producers refuse to hand the work in or stuff like that. And you have to follow your gut on whether this is really going to happen and it's worth it to you to continue or if it's time to back off.
Yeah, there's no shame in walking away from a thing. It's the sunken cost fallacy. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I was about to give an analogy that like your reps are like Boba Fett, and then and the producers are Han Solo. But then I was like, well, that makes you Jabba the Hutt. So
Otto Walker.
All right. Well, off that great analogy, hopefully this episode offers you guys some guidance for how to handle the different types of notes you might receive. So yeah, good luck with your revisions and let us know how it goes. If you'd like to reach out to us, our email is untitledfemaledrivenpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Or you can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @untitledfemale. Tell us what you'd like to learn more about. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.